warm-up is just before we get into our lesson, which I always have a lesson, but sometimes the warm-up people have questions. So somebody asked me, is this true? Do we live in a fallen world? People hear that, and I even say that, but I got to make myself, oh, be careful. Do we live in a fallen world? Yes. No. Well, define your terms. Define your terms. What do you want to say? What should we do?
Well, God's orderly arrangement is not fallen because it has a new head.
Okay, listen. He just said God's orderly arrangement, and what he's saying is define your term. He's defining this term. Are you not, John?
Yes.
Right. World in the Bible is cosmos. Okay? Was there more than one of them? Yes. I'm going to run through this again, but there was a cosmos, and the definition of it John just gave you is called orderly arrangement. Does it mean the rocks, the trees, the mud, the bugs, the slugs? No. It means a relation of God to man. That's the cosmos. So, I ask you, is there more than one definition of cosmos today? Well, yes, there is. There's a new one, a creation, or new heavens and new earth, or we called it Zion in our lesson, where God dwells now. Where's that? Look around. That's the new creation. That's a cosmos. Well, there was also an old covenant cosmos. And then there's also a one we say today. We just say, hey, do you live in the world? You know, we mean the physical world. We say, oh, sure. Sure. Okay, so first, tell me which one you're talking about. First of all, who's the we? First of all, it can either be, can it not? Are you talking about Christians? Or are you talking about non-Christians? Which one? Pick one. Well, let's say Christians. Do Christians live in a fallen arrangement with God anymore? No! Well, wait a minute. What about non-Christians? Do non-Christians live still fallen away from God's arrangement? The new one through Christ. They do. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean live? The Bible in Greek has two words. Tell me if you ever heard this one. Probably didn't pay attention to it, but you did hear it, okay? Bios, like as in biology where you didn't pay attention. Okay? Then there's another one, zao. It's a lot of times it's zoo, Z-O-O, zoo, zoo. But one of them is physical. One of them is God-related, spiritual. Okay? So once again, we, who is it, live which way? You got to tell me. Okay? In a fallen world, most people will agree that this means the Genesis 3, away from God. Yes? Away from God. That's what they would mean. So tell me, here's what it says. Non-physical people live in a fallen regular world. Is that true? Absolutely. What about Christians? Zoologically, zao, they live in a fallen new covenant world. No way. You don't. You live in a restored world. You live in a new one. Now look, here's one place that I'm going to take you to. Turn to John 18. John 18. What about Jesus? Did Jesus live in a fallen world?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For what?
No. Yes. No. Okay, John 18. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Pilate. But these words are used there. John 18, like 30-something. 35, 36, okay? Pilate answered. So Pilate's interviewing him. Pilate said Jesus was not guilty, right? And he was right. But they put him dead there. Am I a Jew? Pilate answered. Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered. Here's the verse. My reign, or my kingdom, is not of this cosmos. Which cosmos? Hold on. If my kingdom were of this cosmos, my servants would fight. Which cosmos? So that I should not be delivered to the Jews. Do you see that? Which cosmos is he talking about? The Jewish cosmos that goes back to Israel, that goes back to Moses. That's the cosmos, the world that Jesus was born in. So, was Jesus biologically living in that world? Yeah. Yeah, no problem. But was it sourced from there? What does he mean when he says, "But now my kingdom is not from here"? What have you ever heard that? What do you think that means? Now my kingdom not from this cosmos. What does that mean? Take a guess.
It's Zoe, not bio.
It's first of all, it would be a Zoe, okay? It would be a spiritual deal, because Jesus was both spiritually alive and biologically alive. He never died spiritually until the cross. And nobody killed him, did they?
No, he
really gave it up. Very good, okay? All right, so there you go. This is good to be in, but we like this saying. Have you heard this saying? Is it a good one? We should be in the world, but not of the world. What's wrong with that? Nothing. That's okay, isn't it? Isn't it? Is that okay? Because look, where else is God going to be served? Who's his servants? Raise your hand. We're his servants. We're his imager servants. So who's going to do that? That's why when people say, "This world is not my home, I'm only passing through." First defined world. If you're in a new covenant, new creation, Zion, you're in it because you're living spiritually in it and physically in it, but you ain't just passing through. You're doing your deal. You're doing your deal. Some people pray. They say, "Lord, just take me out of this trash can." This ain't a trash can. It's another place for the cosmos, the new one. You did. Somebody had a comment.
Well, that leads into the mentality that says we just back up out of our society instead of moving in. And why do we move in? Because it's what God called us to do, and it's good for Christians and non-Christians that we would move in and put godly principles into place.
Amen.
That's what monks did.
Say again?
Monks escape.
What did monks do? Say it.
They escaped to the mountains, the forest, to be out of this world, to worship God privately and not be part of the world.
There you go. There you go. Monk, they were ascetics. Okay, like C.F.'s talking about. They would remove themselves. Jesus never said that. He said, "I send you out. You go.
Into the world.
Into the world." And that was the first one they were going into. Recognize that. Now, though, there are still two worlds. There's that physical one. I would agree. It's still fallen. It's away from God. Not the one we live in. A while back, whenever Garrett led the music and he did the song, "We are marching to Zion." I changed the words and I said, "We are marching in Zion." You see the difference? We are Zion. The Zion is not a physical place. It is a spiritual reality, and we make it up. We're marching in Zion, the beautiful city of God. That's what we do. And guess what? When you change your address, when you physically, biologically die, that's cool, but you ain't changing your residence. You're still in the same kingdom. You're just going from living here to living there. And I don't exactly know what we do when we get there, but don't wait. You're supposed to be doing now, like Craig said. Yes.
God sends us into the world for these people here.
Absolutely. God sends Christians into the world.
For the fallen people in the world.
For the fallen people in the world. Look, that's it. What did Jesus do? Do that. Do that. He was a kingdom of one for a little while there. Right? Yes. I mean, so anyway, comment on that. So
the point is that you go into the world, there are serpents and people that are going to attack you.
He's telling them that. So, but don't worry. That's right. So that's a fantastic thing. Why did he send 12 out in Matthew? He said, "Go and don't go to only go to the children of Israel." He said, "Send out 12, two by two." And then, but in Luke, he sends out 70. Why did he send out 70?
Well, he prepared those guys.
He prepared them. But who was he sending them to? 12 or 70? What does that make you think of? It should. Tribes, which is 12, go to Israel, because we're starting with them. We promised them first, but then go to 70 nations. Think Genesis 10, where all the nations fell, and go count them up, and you'll get 70 or 72. But anyway, that's what it means. Is Luke was saying Jesus sent them all out to go after all the nations, not just Israel. And that's what we've been talking about last week, is, who are the children of God? Still Israel? Still the Jews?
No.
Mr. Hagee followers? No. No. The Jews were a means unto an end. A light, they didn't do very well, unto the whole world. Okay, other comments. So I'm just saying, evaluate this. So do we live in a fallen world? No. Do we live in a fallen world? Yes. That's pretty bad, right?
So you're saying this 2,000-year-old document is relevant today?
Yeah. That's a great comment because, boy, nowadays people will not tell you. They'll tell you, well, hey, you don't need to even discuss the Bible. They'll say, it don't even apply. That's what the biggest danger is. So, good point. Okay, so here's what I want to do today is I want to talk about the people of God again. But I just want to show you again, okay, the quick deal about the transition period. See, Eph is preaching right now. And when he's in Colossians, okay, he's about to say next week, okay, he's going to get back to something that you were already asked in chapter 2. But he's going to say something again. Paul is, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ. You died. Were you dead and God brought you alive? Uh-huh. Yep. Which way? Zao. It's spiritually, okay? These people are not biologically dead, okay? They were spiritually dead, and that's what he's talking about, but they've been brought spiritually alive, okay? Next week, he's going to read this verse. For you died. How is he going to say that you died? You were already spiritually dead, so he's going to mean physical. He's going to mean you died to that old world. You died to that old world. You died to that old covenant. So is that pertinent to us today? We live in a fallen world? No, we don't. We live in a raised up, reconnected world. Okay, we serve the fallen world. So it's exactly what we're going through in Colossians, if you see. Same exact thing. Same thing. Okay, and so that's what we do. God could still come down. He could still, you know, do that. But he ain't doing that. He ain't done it for 2,000 years. And the Bible didn't tell you he's going to do that. No, he's doing that through his people, through his church, through his temple, through his bride. I mean, you know, the offspring of his bride, his family. Okay, yes?
Because I lived in a world before of sin, of drugs, and, you know, drug trafficking and all that stuff. And when God saved me, he brought me in the world spiritual. Amen.
Amen. So you see how he used the world? He was in the world of sin and drugs, but he brought him into the new world.
New world. And now I do prison ministry. So.
Amen. Now I do ministry and do his stuff. He's his hands and feet, like we should be. Okay? So that's what we're talking about. So when somebody says, we live in a fallen world? Nope. Yep. Properly understood. You know? Okay, so let's do a quick, because I want this to stay in your mind as we're talking about who are the people of God. That's what we're talking about now. We talked about where does God dwell. In the old age, the old covenant, God dwelt in a... Well, he inhabited a temple, a tent and a temple, okay? How much did he inhabit the hearts of his people? Did he do that?
Yes.
Some, who? Yes.
Prophets,
priests, and kings. Ding, 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 ding. Prophets, priests, and kings got that. Yep. But they didn't have it. Did they have it forever? Like, could it ever leave?
Oh, sure.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Big difference in what we got today. But that's how God indwelled his people. And generally, he did not indwell them in their heart. Okay? And boy, think about how hard it would be to live like that.
Scary.
Tough.
He dwelled in them as long as they were doing right.
That's right.
Without doing wrong, he faded away.
That's right. Remember, that Moses covenant was, you do right, I'm going to bless you. You do wrong, I'm going to curse you. Right? All right, so here's what we got. These two ages right here, old age, new age. You got to know this so when you read your New Testament, you understand the transition. Okay? When did the age change? Okay? The age changed, okay? Either at the cross or Pentecost, okay? Something big is happening because all of history is split between Jesus when he came. All split between Jesus, okay? And so what you got here is that you had this age, the green, it was all Moses, and it was going to go away. You had an age blue, Jesus, the Messiah age, and it started right here, and it's going to go, and guess what? It never ends. So is it either Pentecost or 70 AD is another choice, because that's when God took away the old. You've heard C.F. mention before, when General Titus wiped out Jerusalem and the temple, that was it. And you know why? Because those Jews, they would still be going over there, just like those Muslims go to that mosque I showed you on my other slides, right? Yes, they would still do that. And they'd be making you do it too. Okay? So you had a transition from this age to the age to come. Transition period. And all the New Testament writers are writing during that period. Okay? When Paul's writing right here in Colossians, he's writing to Gentiles, which remember, Gentiles included the 10 tribes that had been lost because God killed them back under Hosea and the Assyrians, but also to the Gentiles, non-10 tribes, that they were all interspersed, dispersed to, dispersed, okay? And so as that was going on right there, this is called in your New Testament, this is called the last days. The last days of what? Of the old covenant. The old age. If you think about that, it'll make sense. Galatians 4 says Jesus was born from a woman under the law. It means the Moses law. Okay? It means the Moses law. And so Jesus was born under the law, was he? Did he have to keep it?
Yes.
Yeah, we said have to, but he did so we could get credit. You heard CF say. I mean, that's beautiful. That's exactly right. So what you got here, this is us. We're in the age to come. We're in the Messianic age. We're in the Messianic age, the age of Messiah. We don't keep this stuff no more. And aren't you glad?
Yes.
Okay? We don't do that because God, He didn't do away with it, like destroy it. Can you see the difference in that He fulfilled it? So you get credit for it being fulfilled? Because how do you reconcile? See, I said this morning, the law, what did he say? It was God's heart? It was God's character? That's right. So you would never get rid of that. Do you understand? You only fulfill it so God's happy. And He loves you. Loves us. Okay? So did we do that? Count it so. Count it so. That's right. That's it. Okay? And so what you have during this transition period is you have something that's already done, but not yet done. It's a transition period. Okay? This is the stuff we've talked about in prior times. I don't want to go too much detour here. But some things were happening already, but some things had not yet happened. People were already in Christ. They were already having salvation. They just weren't finished. But not yet, Moses, his stuff had gone away. So CF told us a few weeks ago, so why are they fighting about this circumcision stuff? Because this hadn't gone away. So you Gentiles, line up for circumcision. Keep doing the feast. Come to Jerusalem. And Paul is saying no, and they're saying to Paul, we'll get you for that. In fact, they did get him for that. Right? Yeah. All right. When Paul, in Acts 21, when they locked him up, who really got after Paul? The Jews. That old world. And why? Remember the specific charge against him. It says, he brought this guy named Trophimus, and he brought him where?
Into the temple.
Into the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the big deal? Big deal, they're about to beat Paul to death. And who saved him? The Roman, right? Yeah. So look, this is a big deal that's going on, this already but not yet. And so this is also called this age. It's called New Jerusalem. This right here, this is a quoting a verse. You're also being, 1 Peter 2, you're being built together into a dwelling place of God by the Spirit. That temple was being built, and we talked about that. It was being built out of spiritual stones, not physical stones, spiritual stones. You had to see it with your spiritual eyes. And at the same time, that was being done right here. This is out of Hebrews 8. What was growing old was ready to vanish away. What was that? That stone deal, that temple deal. We ain't worshiping God there no more, is what was going to happen. You see, growing old, ready to vanish away, at the same time as a new temple being built out of spiritual stones with a foundation stone of Jesus, a cornerstone of Jesus and foundation stone of 12 apostles. Okay, so that's what's going on. So look, here's the blue. That's the new covenant. The old covenant terminates with General Titus. It's gone. You have Jesus coming to consummate, okay, this new covenant. And you have us going forward for how long? Well, look, I was taught that this new heaven and new earth, New Jerusalem, Zion, that was only when Jesus physically came back. only then. So we're still waiting, okay? And then the 1,000 years begins, and man, it just makes your head spin to try and figure it out. But if you understand that there's verses in the New Testament, Ephesians 3, 20, 21, it says that glory and honor is going to be given to Jesus for all ages, never ending. And if you understand, we live in an eternal day. It's the 8th day, which we'll get into that sometime, but we live in a day that never ends. Now, I don't mean day and night. You know what I mean? It ain't that kind of day. It's the day of Messiah, never ends. Because your king never ends, existence never ends, relationships never end, the kingdom never ends. In fact, the kingdom doesn't shrink. Garrett points out to us in Isaiah, of the increase of his kingdom, there'll be no end. So it's not like it ever shrinks even. So that's what you have to understand what's going on in this transition period. Okay? Now, comments. Because now I want to talk about people. But comments. I hope this helps you understand when Jesus is saying, you know, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, you could be forgiven for saying something about me as the Son of Man. But he who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven either in this age or the age to come. Now do you know what he means? Why could you be forgiven of attributing to Jesus? The context is, you casting out demons by Beelzebub, the devil. You and the devil are together, Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Could that be forgiven? He said he would. But what about in the age to come when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and that means attributing to the devil things of Jesus? After the Holy Spirit comes, could you be forgiven that? He said, no, the age to come, because you would never do that, you know, as a Christian.
Is that because you're denying the mechanism of salvation? Is that kind of...
I don't know the mechanism, but part of that, I mean, or the validation of. The mechanism maybe would still be, but yes, what the validation. You're denying the validation and saying Jesus' validating works are of the devil.
I'm thinking, you know, like in that green space, when you stop and think, you know, how upset we get over Christmas gifts are not available because of supply chain, or Costco says I can't hoard water and toilet paper. You know, we have a hard time giving up these little conveniences, but these cats were giving up thousands of years of tradition that says you have to do this or you're sent to hell if you don't.
Amen.
The stakes are really high.
Amen. Is that a big deal? 1,600 years, 1,500 years of doing these things? And Jesus and then Paul says, don't have to do them no more. You would say the similar thing. We'd say, no, we always done it that way.
Who are you?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, one hand there.
If just on that, you know, that rejecting that mechanism, it's not an original thought to me, but I've been, it strikes me, you know, you find these consistent principles that the Lord puts in place, including on the testimony of two or more witnesses.
Yes.
And if his spirit testifies with ours, we're told,
amen.
You have denied that witness.
Amen. Amen.
And left without that witness.
Yes.
Just an interesting application of that principle that he used.
Well, you're quoting Jesus there in 12. He said, hey, if you don't believe me for my works. Okay? And if you don't believe me, believe the Father who sent me. So there's three witnesses right there. And did those Jewish leadership, did they believe any of those three?
No.
And why would you...
But then there's those people that say that once the Spirit and you have connected and it's your salvation has occurred,
yes,
that then you can deny the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And boom.
Yes.
But that picture shows it's never decreasing. So in my mind, if you could lose that, then it's decreasing.
Yes, it could decrease if you could lose that.
Yeah.
Now look, let's ask ourselves that. In what way could, I got the Spirit, okay? I just do. I'm saved. But do you think I could deny my Lord? Yes. Could I deny Him temporarily? Could I deny Him fully? Yes? No. But you know, look, there's nothing in all creation that can separate me from the love of God in Christ either. Nothing. No created thing. Am I a created thing? C.F. loves this. I do too. I quote it from him. So I cannot even fatally and fully fall away because I ain't holding on.
You didn't place yourself there.
I didn't place myself there.
It's like our children. Our children will always be our children. They didn't place themselves there. God created them. God put them there. They'll never not be our children, regardless of what they think of us.
I think that's
that's a great analogy,
okay? But wait a minute, let me tell you something. If you're not careful, and when you are reading your Bible, and you are reading something that is during the transition period, and it says, even Paul says, 1 Corinthians 9, I have to be careful that even I would not run the race and be disqualified. Was there a chance that Paul could be disqualified during this period? Yes, look, they haven't reached consummation. Consummation is what you have, but they didn't. It was a 40-year period during which things were different. Come.
Ananias and Sapphira,
okay? Done, gone, okay? And the 40-year period, you have to think. Read the book of Hebrews where all those warnings, we'll see if it's gone through. He says, warning. You're going to fall away. Could those Hebrews have fallen away during this transition period? Well, I ask you a question. Did any Israelites fall away during the first Exodus period of 40 years?
Yes.
All but two. So could they fall away here is a good question when you're reading. Then ask yourself, could you fall away here after Jesus consummated it and he's fully got hold of you? Someone had a hand up. No, say it. Say it. Elaborate on that.
I just love the analogy.
There it is. The promised land equals your life in God. The promised land was a type of Zion, which is the spiritual reality of you living with God. That's it. Okay? You don't want to go back to Israel and the temple and Jerusalem and that thing. That's it. But I already showed you pictures. If you weren't here, I got those pictures to show what's inside of that dome of the rock. What's down in there? A rock. That was an important rock back then. Ain't important now. Let them Muslims have it. Go give them a New Testament. Give them a gospel tract if Israel would let you. Okay? Muslims come to Christ every day. Get that film that's called Jesus in Athens. Anybody seen that film? Jesus in Athens, a documentary. Get in and show it at your small group. These people are coming from Turkey and they come over to Greece to get in the European Union, just like they're coming over the border here, right? Del Rio. They come across that little bit of water, and when they get into Greece, they're in the European Union. But Turkey sends them over. Well, anyway, who's over there? I'm going to say welcoming them, helping them. Guess who? Christians. And this whole film is about these Muslims who said, they come to get some food and something, and they're talking about Jesus, and they see this track, and they say, I saw that man. Give me chill bumps, okay? Because they said, I saw that man in my dream. Who is that man? Little girl's coming over in a boat. And her parents are in the boat. Little girl falls over. And they stop the boat, set the boat. And then, I don't know how many seconds later, say, am I seeing this film? Have you seen it? And the girl's sitting in there. How'd you get in? She said, the man who walked on the water put me in. It'll give you children. They get over the shore. There's a fire there. They're giving them a little breakfast stuff. And the guy who's doing it is teaching them. And get what lesson he's talking about is Jesus walking on the water. Now look. Does God do that? Well, I guess He'd do.
He'd do whatever He wants.
Talking to a guy who was a cessationist. There ain't no miracles no more. Well, shut your mouth. Look, it's beautiful. Get that thing. Jesus in Athens. It's neat. Okay, so there you go. You got to understand what time it is or you're going to miss what it's meaning to you. Okay? Yes, come on.
Just from the initial discussion, you know, your world, your cosmos, and then this, and it just bring in mind.
Yes.
You know, John 3:16, we've got God so agape the cosmos.
Yeah.
That exists. So I'm gonna say, you know, so I wrestling with where this beginning of the transition begins, yeah. Right? Maybe we can say because God so agape is the cosmos. And by 1 John 2:15, we are given an imperative. They are given an imperative. Do not agape this cosmos. Anybody who agapes this cosmos, the love of God is not in him.
Ah.
So you see even in God this transition of, you know, coming in because maybe to the Jews first and the nations and then to this new. He loved it so, and then he said some don't love it.
What about that? Well, there's a contradiction in the Bible? No, it can't be. It's two different cosmoi or cosmoses. You see? That's the way to understand it. To know there was two of them going on at the same time. One was about to vanish away and the other one was just beginning. Just beginning. You know? And this one is not a physical deal. It is a corporate body going towards maturity. Okay? Is what's going on. I want to show you that. I want to get back to that because we're talking about who are the people of God. And I want us to do our time on that today. So any other comments about this? I hope this helped. Put it back in your mind. This might even... Somebody maybe was going to put it on the website, on the church website.
You were going to send it to me to put it on the Sunday school page.
Yeah, somebody was going to send it to somebody to put it on the webpage. And they're still going to do that. They are. They're still going to do that. Okay?
Richard,
yes.
In a previous class or a previous discussion, I liked the comment when you pointed out that he ended the old age of Israel and the Jews, but yet he started the new age with the Jews.
Yes.
The first Christians were Jews.
Yes. That is so important when you try to have these two tracks today, like I showed you on Dr. Hagee. He says, don't evangelize the Jews because they have their own track. Mm-hmm. And it's another track for Christians. But who were the first Christians? The Jews. Now we don't. Do we know what tribe those 12 are from? No.
Makes no difference.
Elaborate on that. Why didn't the Bible tell us what tribe they're from? Maybe.
Well, you because we're human, we would want to pin it to a particular deal, and the only thing we would do is zero in on Judah. We think Judah is the way, the truth, and the life.
No. Yep.
He wanted to make it unknown where they came from, so that we believe all across.
There you go.
And for it to be open to all nations, you shouldn't go back and pin it on one nation.
Amen.
Because it's for all nations.
Amen. What was CF's analogy? You're going to put your car in reverse? And you want to go back? You want to go back to that? No way. That's why, in the future, no sacrifices, no blood of bulls and goats. In fact, Hebrews said, did they ever take away sin? No. Why did they even do it? They were told to. So obedience and to kind of get right with God again every year. A day of atonement and kind of like your computer screen is stuck a lot at our house. You know, stuck. Hit the reset button. Someone else had a hand. Yes.
So a checklist is a lot more comfortable than freedom and liberty.
There you go.
Yeah. Liberty and freedom is scary.
Yes.
I mean, we want our Social Security.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The government to take care of us. It's yes. A guarantee, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that's our fallen.
There you go. And is that what Christians have? Look, Jesus told you what your one law is. Oh, two. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now, look, that's like one, he said, that one or two. What was Adam's? How many rules did Adam have?
One.
I'm God, you're not. Don't touch that tree. What else can he do? Everything. And by the time you got to Sinai, okay, let me break it down to 10. And by the time you got all these Levites, CF tells you that they have 613. And if you try to study the Talmud today, 10,000. Come on, it's like the tax code. Who follows it? I don't know. Yes.
Well, I talk about the old age, new ages. We always talk about condition and position. Old ages, you're continually working on your condition
yes.
to obtain a position.
Good.
When you went to the new,
good.
We have a position that's solid, never changing, whatever. We can mess with our condition, but we cannot ever change our position.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Is that good? So, do you keep the law? Yes, I kept the law. When you get in and walk into your new residence in heaven, God will say, did you keep the law? What are you going to say?
Yes.
Yep, I got credit. Here's my ticket. Where's your ticket to get in? It's called faith. Okay? Faith. And don't bring a counterfeit like a counterback to deal. You don't bring a counterfeit. No, the real one, it says, faith of Jesus. That's your ticket. The faith of Richard, and they say.
And a lot of people get messed up with the difference between of and in.
Yes.
Amen. I have the faith of Christ. Yes. It's not in me.
Yes.
Instead of I have the faith in Jesus. Yeah,
yes.
I put my faith in Jesus.
Yes.
The faith is of.
Yes.
So I'm put you different.
Look, that man is quoting you some Greek grammar tools right there, and it's a big deal, and Garrett has helped us understand that. But most of the verses in the New Testament, when they're talking about, when it's talking about the faith in Jesus, that's wrong. It's bad interpretation. It's the faith of Jesus that's given to you. Dang, big difference. Big difference. What would my faith be that I'm going to say, Lord, this makes me worthy? And he said, what is that?
Dead man can't speak.
Dead man can't speak. Who said that? Yes. Yes, they can't. Okay? They can't. All right, so.
Or women.
Okay. All right, now, y'all don't laugh here because whoever made these slides might be offended. Okay? All right. Look right here. Now, this is what we asked last week. Okay? Who are the people of Yahweh? Who are the real people of Yahweh today? Who were the real people of Yahweh starting with Adam? Okay? So I just give them to you. I mean, Adam, Eve, Abel, Seth, that's all Genesis. Okay? Noah plus eight, Ham, Shem, Japheth, we started over. Abraham, and question mark, wasn't Abraham supposed to be a blessing to all the nations? Yes, the answer is. After Abraham, you had Isaac, Jacob, Israel, and 12. That's them. That's when Israel started. So here's what you got. 12 tribes, and Joseph was different. He was a Messiah figure, okay? But then you get into Moses, Saul, David, Solomon, kings, prophets, priests, which mentioned John the Baptizer, and then Yeshua, Jesus. And then, here's what you start from Jesus, is where you start new. You start coming out. That was the blue in our transition period. Starts with one man. The God man.
New Adam.
Huh? New Adam. Who said it? Yes. The new Adam. New Adam, yes. And then who did he first go to in the Gospel of John? The woman said, can I just give me a crumb from the table? He said, no, he couldn't help her because he said, I came for the Jews. And she said, well, even the little dogs get a crumb from the table. Thank you. Well, so the Jews were first. Why? Because Jesus was a Jew. They're the only ones left. But what about Israel? God promised Israel that even though he killed him in Hosea, he divorced him in Hosea, and he scattered him in Hosea, he said, in the latter days, you better know when the latter days were, he said, I'm going to bring you back. And I'm going to do what? Bring you alive, marry you again. Did he do it?
Yes.
He absolutely did. And that's where you get in your book of Revelation the full number. I wrote that full number because what's the full number of Israel? Well, book of Revelation tells you it's 144,000. 12,000 from each 12 tribes. Boom. There it is. Now, I don't know their names. I don't have to do that. It's a spiritual concept because he had to fulfill promises to Israel. If God didn't fulfill promises to Israel, why would he let you Gentiles in? Well, he wouldn't, but he did. Then you got Gentiles. And now we've been Gentiles, that's my little arrow there, Gentiles for 2,000 years, and are we going to put it in reverse, as CF said, and we're going to go back to ethnic Jews again?
No.
No.
Fast forward.
We're going forward only. Only. How could you even prove today that you're a right kind of Jew from one of these 12? How could you do that?
There's a genetic thing you can do.
Yes.
A little blood thing online.
Prove
you're from
DNA. Let me tell you what happens in DNA is that they're going to do that and they're going to give and they're going to show that you've got some Jewish blood in you and it's called Ashkenazi blood. Do you know what Ashkenazi is? It is a type of Jew that's all over there in Israel today and around the world, but they came from the Middle Ages up in Khazaria. Go check it out, okay? And that's who came to Israel in 1948.
And that's different from the Sephardic Jews.
It's different from Sephardic Jews. Now, let's explain Sephardics, which are the ones who...
Who came to the Americas or Southern. They
yes.
did not stay in Europe.
They claim, the Sephardics claim, that they are the true lost tribes of Israel. And I know people that believe that in their religion, okay? And they believe that, that's what happened. And not only did they come to America first, they went from the Holy Land... And they went to England
and Portugal.
Yes, all of those European countries. And so that's where the kings come from and all that kind of stuff and so on. So I'm no expert in that. Okay, check it out. But there is two types because Khazars, K-8, and Sephardic. Sephardics, how many of them are there? They're very few.
Yes.
Okay. But still, once again, I just say, well, prove it. Show me the records, because where did the records go that would prove what tribe you were from? When did they disappear?
70
A.D. And they said, God said through the Romans, we don't need this stuff no more. No more. Okay, no more. So this is the point. The point is that now we have a temple of God. This is if this was Adam number two, James, Adam number two, this is the body and it's one body, the church. Look, you cannot think. I want to tell BJ, look, can you please like do us a few Sundays when you try to give us collective body songs instead of all about me? I wonder how many could we find in contemporary Christian music. I'm just wondering. Or, BJ, go change the words for us. And let us think about one body collectively, because that's what the New Testament talks about mostly, not solely. Sometimes it talks about one body members. Well, that's okay. But most of the time, what was happening was this one body. And look, this body of Christ is made up of these people. And as C.S. said last week, these people are made up of God in them. So you see how it's Him in us, us in Him, we in them. That's John 17, where Jesus said, I want y'all to be one. And He didn't say, like, y'all agree on every single thing. He said, no, one means your position. And that's this one before this, okay? So look, right here in Eden, you had the Adamic body. There's Adam 1. In Adam, he both was bios alive and he was also za'o alive. How was he za'o alive? God put his breath into him, but he did one more thing. Because maybe the breath gave him bios, but what happened after he put his breath in him?
Brought him in.
Yes, brought him in. He said, come on, you're related to me now. Come live with me. That's even better than the breath, because that's true, okay? So this Adam, okay, this relationship with Yahweh is what the Bible speaks of as the life. That's why it's got to be in Greek, za'o. It's spiritual life. Relationship life. He was living with God. What happened to him? The fall. What is the fall? It's the death. It's separation. CF does a great job forever. He said this. What does death mean? Mean different thing, but usually separation from God. That's exactly what you get in Genesis 3. And when did that get changed? Who fixed it? Adam number 2. Okay. And in this dead body, what I want to show you is, in this dead body was not just Adam. It's all those other ones. Noah's part of that body. Abraham's part of that body. Look, they're dead. They do have a relationship, but it is not a consummated relationship that couldn't be lost. That's the difference. Okay? So that's all of what that is. And then, this is why, well, this is, CF has already gone over this when he talks about in Galatians, where it talks about before Jesus came, they were under the law. They had the tutor, which was the law. But Paul was always saying that the law resulted in one thing, and that was death. The law never brought anybody to God. Never did. Never did at all. Okay? So this is the last thing I show you today. Okay? But think transition period. And what I tried to do here was make this one baby to mature, okay, of this body. During the transition period, the church was born, most people would say at Pentecost, but it was born as a baby, metaphorically, okay? And the Bible says that they were going to reach a point of perfection, yes? But the word, I use the word mature because the word is really a consummation word. It means a goal. You're going to reach a goal. And if you think of a consummate body, a corporate body, a collective body, it was being grown into the body that God could now work through. That's the goal. And that was reached. Now look, applicationally, can all Christians be at a different stage? Sure. I mean, new Christian, wham, wham, we don't know nothing. Old Christian, sometimes, wham, wham, don't know. What was Paul saying? 1 Corinthians 5, I ought to be feeding you something now. You ought to be over here.
Eat meat.
But now he said, I'm still giving you
milk.
Bottle milk. You have to understand, during the transition period, the body of Christ, that corporate entity, his servant, made up, I can't put them all in here, but made up of all of those members, they were being equipped for God then to make them serve in this realm. Humans were made for the physical realm, not angels. Angels, sons of God there, they're made for the spiritual realm. We, humans, were made there. And that's the whole story from Adam until second Adam and fallen. Is what's going on. So, it's bad art, but it's a good concept of what was happening there. We're not still here as the baby church. It could be applicationally, but in God's eyes, that's what the body looks like. That's the head. That's the body. And people come through here and do servant work, imager work, that he wants them doing. And that's why what Craig said earlier is so important. We can't retreat. We charge. We go. Where is the word not? We go. You know? That's the deal.
When we don't reflect that, all the scripture that talks about him removing his hand off, not that you lose your salvation, but he said,
yeah, even to this, does God's law still work practically, applicationally, that when, hey, if this man is disobeying all the time, what is that man going to get? He's going to get bad things, just like Moses and them God. I mean, if you just look around at, I was raised a Catholic, and this Pope dude, I mean, you know, he is saying stuff, doing stuff that, it's so weird. Oh, but not just him, all these Protestant preachers are too. Come on. Well, so people say, well, we keep doing that, God's going to sure curse us. I said, look around. You know, what's 40 years, a whole generation that we've been slapping him and forgetting him? It don't look good.
Sometimes what you're going to get is all you got. You know, like we were at a church in Georgia 100 years ago that was made up of like 80-plus-year-olds and you know, three families under 40. And we just weren't ineffective. Period. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then what you have is all you're gonna have. I mean, that's what you got.
Yes.
You know, and it's just you have a building.
A building.
You know what I mean? So yes. It's like you're not outpouring. Yes. You're not building up your own to go out. You're Amen. Just tithing.
Amen.
You know, yeah. You're paying the salary.
Well, it's from getting too comfortable.
Too comfortable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's why, look, this whole living water thing. The living water is flowing from the throne through the city. Who's the city? We're the city. Zion is the city. It's not coming by and by. We are the city. That water from the throne, which is Holy Spirit life, comes via the body. That's all of us. And it flows and it enlivens everything. Go read Ezekiel 48. Starts with a little trickle. Gets to where no man could swim across it. It was talking about the new covenant coming. We live in that. Life. You know, and Christianity as a whole, still, it goes. It does go, even though in America, it don't look so good. Come on.
If the members of the entire body understood that last position, the body.
Yeah, the body.
And as a whole.
Yeah.
We wouldn't let anything outside bother us.
There you go.
And if we ever work together, we're not going to let any government tell us anything to do. We're not going to let any individual across the street, whatever. We just don't let anybody bother us. We're going to follow God's
There you go.
Rule.
There you go.
And just go that way.
There you go.
We're going this way.
There you go.
And if the whole body would, we don't know how powerful our body is.
That's it. Where should this body be? In what industries? What institutions?
Everywhere.
All of them. And when you retreat from them, don't expect they look any different from what some are. You want to see what heathens running a federal government look like? Murderers. Against Texas right now, they will do anything to keep killing these babies.
That's right.
Now look, that is just, it's just wicked. It's evil. And it don't need a devil to be that. It's in the heart of man, unregenerate man, okay? CF says 99% is in here. Well, I say 100% because at some point in the Bible, you know that all the spirit beings, they're destroyed. You got to just decide when you think that happens or happened. But I'm telling you, he at least says 99%. It's in the heart of unregenerate man. That's who thinks of these things. Yuck. That's bad. We got to go. Father, thank you for your word. Father, let us just go with our church. Like our church goes out, let us be. Well, that's us. That's us. So go out. And may you be glorified and honored in that as we go. In Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, thank